Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. That winter storm that stretched across much of the lower half of the country, blamed for 9 deaths now. Conditions worsened overnight as temperatures plummeted. Powerful Santa Ana winds hitting the West Coast today, raising the risk of wildfires. Red flag warnings up in Ventura County. A deadly earthquake in Tibet near Mount Everest. Here's ABC's Britt Clement.
The powerful earthquake killing dozens of people after it hit a remote area of Tibet on Tuesday morning. Tremors felt in Nepal as well as parts of India. Chinese authorities registered it as a 6.8 magnitude quake, which struck Dingra County in Tibet just after 9 a.m. with a depth of 6.2 miles below ground. The U.S. Geological Survey registered the earthquake with a magnitude of 7.1.
Following time spent at the Carter Center in Atlanta, the body of former President Jimmy Carter will be flown to Washington, D.C. today. He will lie in repose at the Capitol Rotunda ahead of a state funeral on Thursday. This is ABC News.
I'm James Kelly with WLAK News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. Find it anytime on the WLAK website at lakeair.radio.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. There was a lion's roar atop the box office this past weekend. Mufasa took first place on the big screen with a haul of just under $24 million. The Lion King prequel edged out Sonic the Hedgehog 3 on the last weekend of 2024. Sonic, which was tops last weekend over Mufasa, brought in just over $21 million for a second place, but out-earned Mufasa over the traditional three-day weekend. Both films are entering their fourth week of release and showing decent legs. Coming in third place this past weekend was Focus Features' Nosferatu, a surprise hit that has pulled in about $70 million since its release on Christmas Day. The film is now at $100 million globally. Rounding out the top five were Moana 2 in fourth place with $12 million and about to pass $1 billion globally. And in fifth place was Wicked with just over $10 million. The Bob Dylan biopic, A Complete Unknown, landed in sixth place for the second week in a row with just over $8 million big ones. Great assortment of flicks in the theaters right now to help you combat the cold. Check them out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do, you know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing four of their last five, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding. Those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year and we went to the mall and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, some Republicans don't seem very enthusiastic about continuing to fund the IRS. Why would that be? We'll kick that around. Join us.
Mattenair on air, weekday mornings at 10. This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thicken up in the overnight. Our winds will remain light, and our temperatures dropping to the upper single digits. Morning clouds on Tuesday expected to give way to mostly sunny skies. Highs in the upper teens to around 20 degrees. It's 3 at our studios.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
it? No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again? Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, Tim Dennis, host of the Darkness Radio podcast, joins the show. Then we talk about the Milwaukee comedy scene with comedy sports head coach Mike Kauf. Let's light it up Tuesday style.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
Good morning on this cold Tuesday, January 7th. The temperatures are not the only thing cold I was getting yesterday, because I got a lot of cold shoulders from wearing my Bears jersey into the office after they finally beat the Packers for the first time in 11 games at Lambeau. But I will take it, because for now we are 1-0 in 2025, and that was our Super Bowl. In a few minutes, we'll hear from our ag meteorologist Stu Muck on what we can expect for the rest of the week when it comes to the weather. Also on tap for today, we have market advisor John Heinberg joining the show to give us a look at what he has been seeing recently in the markets and what we may expect to see in the future. There's always new technology coming out to help better the agriculture industry, and one of these is an embryo tracker. Charity Seebecker will be joining us later with that story. But first, let's take a listen in to Stephanie Hoff as she talks with Scott Lyon about what the Wisconsin forest products industry is looking like. Make sure to stick around.
Just like some farm projects, they start out small, but they become gigantic. Bobcat Plus can relate. Bobcat Plus, Wisconsin's largest Bobcat dealer, has been in the family since 1991. They started out as one small dealer and now have grown to six locations. Butler, De Pere, Appleton, Eau Claire, Osseo, and their newest location, Kenosha. They offer new and used Bobcat equipment, parts and service, and rentals at every location to help your ag operation. Visit BobcatPlus.com. Bobcat. One tough animal.
The Northwoods is something Wisconsin takes pride in, and for good reason. We are a forest products powerhouse. I'm Stephanie Hoff from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, and while the forest products industry does face some challenges, such as environmental threats to maintaining market share, it's not stopping the industry from innovating and creating new market opportunities. Scott Lyon joins us to tell the story. He's the Forest Products Program Supervisor with the Wisconsin DNR out of Green Bay. He tells us just how big the industry is in our state and the unique products that we churn out.
Our forest products industry has over 1,200 wood products companies throughout the state, which includes a little over 200 companies that saw lumber out of logs. And we have a little over 800 companies that produce secondary or value-added wood products. Those include cabinets, doors, flooring, and so forth. And then roughly we have about 280 logging businesses that work around the state, harvesting our forests and so forth, forest sustainable forest management. Our industry generates about $24 billion annually, and we support over 123,000 jobs, which contribute to about $38 billion to the state's economy. And also with the 800 establishments that we have that produce our value-added products, employ about 20,000 workers and have about an economic impact about $3 million in the state. So.
And it's primarily in rural areas, naturally. I mean, that's where the trees are, mm-hmm. right?
Ideally, yes. Yeah. So, yeah, our sawmills and logging businesses are up north primarily and in the rural areas, and also in the central part of the state and the southwest. And in the Fox Valley and near Milwaukee area, the southwest or southeast part of the state, we have our secondary manufacturers that produce those cabinets and doors and flooring and other furniture products that are closer to where the consumers are, the individuals that purchase the products and so forth. And it's all throughout the state, though.
I apologize if I missed this gap, but did you also talk about the softer wood products that we produce?
Sure. Yeah. Good. Thanks for bringing that up. We also produce many different paper products in the state. We have the pulp industry, which takes the pulp wood from the forest, produces a pulp product, and then that is turned into a paper product or another product that uses the pulp wood. And in the Fox Valley area, we have quite a few of the paper companies here that turns paper products into either food-grade packaging products, popcorn bags, for example, peanut butter cup wrappers, frozen meal containers, paper towels, toilet paper, and also the pulpwood can be used for building products such as Orient Australian Board. One of the companies produces a composite siding product that's made from wood chips from pulpwood and so forth. And then some of the finer grade products out there, like sawdust and so forth, is either used in toilet seats, liquid smoke if you're into smoking meats, food grade pellets for smoking meats too. And also some of the products, unique ones I like to talk about, is we have a manufacturer that produces canoe paddles and timber mats for construction. Lastly, there's another company too I want to highlight too, is they make mass timber products. So these glue laminated beams that are used in construction of either houses or large scale buildings, such as in Milwaukee with the Ascent Building, which is one of the world's tallest buildings that is made out of mass timber.
That's pretty cool. Who would have thought all of it these is. Different products came out of Wisconsin? But it makes sense, right? We pride ourselves on being the Northwoods.
Mm-hmm.
What type of trees does our forest products industry rely on that we grow here in Wisconsin?
Well, we have many different species here. So we have hardwoods, which they have the leaves on it. And we have the softwoods, which are the pine needle ones that maintain their needles throughout the year and everything. With the hardwoods, a lot of our species that the companies manufacture use for manufacturing is ash, beech, red oak, white oak, walnut, and cherry. And the softwoods, we have red pine, white pine, and spruce, and some other softwood species. But those are pretty much, the softwood species are pretty much used for dimension lumber that are used to build, that is used to build your homes, and also in the pulping industry too, for pulp production. And the hardwoods are primarily used for more of the appearance applications, such as flooring, cabinets, furniture, doors, and so forth.
Give me a sense of the state of Wisconsin's tree crop. How does it look? Are the numbers there, mm-hmm. the acres there?
We're growing more than we're harvesting, and we've been doing that for many decades out there, so that's always great. And also, you know, with sustainable forest management, we have to have our sustainable markets. So we harvest sustainably our forests, our state forests, our public lands, and national forests, and so forth. So, yeah, with that, we're definitely growing more out there. So
what does the market then look like for lumber and wood products?
Well, we're all consumers, so our tastes change all the time. So, you know, knowing that's a different trend out there, you know, for example, years back, red oak was very popular in cabinets and flooring. And that trend has changed, so to sometimes even painted cabinets and so forth. So, yeah, the market has changed a lot over the years just because of, you know, changes in consumer trends. And also for paper industry, a lot of people are using, less paper than we have been, you know, decades ago. So the industry has declined some over the past decade or so. And that has caused some mill closures and causing the price of logs and pulpwood to decrease over the time, too. To help that with that, the mills need to be more competitive. So a lot of the mills are starting to upgrade more with their manufacturing equipment. So with optimization, so they don't need as many workers, because workforce development is kind of an issue, not only with the forest products industry, but it's elsewhere throughout, you know, the nation, too. And also we have some of the paper companies are bringing in more recycled fiber, because that's more available on the market now, and it's very cheap or even free out there. So a lot of those are using some of that cheaper available product, wood fiber, I should say, or recycled fiber, versus our own wood fiber that is harvested here in Wisconsin. So, but yeah, overall, it has changed over the decade, and good and bad, and that's caused some. And right now, it's the fall typically has a decline in the housing market because of construction and so forth slows down. So that changes every year, like how it is right now with the lower market settling down because of the housing market. So, yeah.
Wood may be losing some market share just because there's just so many more options out there.
Mm-hmm.
But if we look at the forest level, outline some of the threats that may face our tree crop.
Definitely, yeah. Invasive species such as emerald ash borers has been a big issue, you know, over the past 15 years or so in the state. Yeah, the best thing to do is, you know, if you're harvesting, you know, making firewood in that, you know, keep it local, you know, in your county and so forth. You don't want to move that around because that moves the insects around too, and the invasive species and so forth. And also, you know, pay attention of, you know, where your wood is coming from, and be aware of, you know, how it's been treated, if there's any insects or anything available, you know, that's associated with it. I have had phone calls recently with People received lumber in, and it wasn't heat-treated right, or kiln-dried, I should say, and there was insects coming out of it. So just be aware of, you know, the quality and where that wood is coming from.
A few threats facing Wisconsin's forestry industry, from invasive insects to changing consumer preferences. But Scott Lyon says innovation in wood products is a golden opportunity. This would include glass that can be replaced with wood-based product, and even water filtration with wood, just to name a few uses.
With wood products, too, we have another innovative product here that came out, is thermally modified wood. This type of product has been around for centuries, but has increased demand because of the capability. It's, I mean, other than the heat treating of the wood, there's no other like chemical process with it to make it treated so it maintains its durability with the weather and so forth. And it's a great application for decks and windows and doors and feet in the elements. And then nanotechnologies is a thing that's kind of been popping up too in the past decade, which uses small particles of wood and produces products that would typically be made out of plastics or oil in that. Any of the plastic containers, even glass, too, it substitutes that. So eyeglasses. And right now, it's on the nano scale, so it hasn't been really produced commercially yet. But hopefully here within, you know, the decade or so, we'll see more of that increase for that product. And then lastly, biochar is a neat product, too, that has been around for a very long time, but has increased with demand and interest because it takes the forest product that would typically be left in the forest, the biomass, the treetops, even in the urban communities too. We have a lot of the urban wood is being utilized and marketed than it had been in the past, because typically it would have went into the landfill or chipped up in wood chips. But now it can be made into a solid wood product that could be in your home, flooring, furniture, and so forth. And also the lower quality of that urban wood can be processed into biochar that is used for water filtration. Basically, it looks like charcoal. It helps with trees grow, so it's a good amendment for the soil, and also it can be found in your you have a water filter with the charcoal part of that, too, is made out of biochar.
If you didn't know then, you know now. Wisconsin is a forest products powerhouse that continues to innovate to maintain its strong economic status in our state. Scott Lyon is the Forest Products Program Supervisor with the Wisconsin DNR. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Stephanie Hoff.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. The Voting Rights Act of 1965, Section 2, included opportunity for communities of minority voters to elect the congressional candidate of their choice by creating a majority-minority voting district. In 2025, Alabama, for the first time in history, has two black members of Congress. It wasn't easy. Alabama's population is almost 27% black, yet the state had only one majority-minority congressional district out of seven after the 2020 redistricting cycle. Voters sued under the Voting Rights Act, and in 2022, the U.S. Supreme Court in Allen v. Milligan determined the legislature had intentionally diluted black voting power. Alabama's federal district court ordered new maps, which the legislature and governor defied, refusing to create a second majority-minority district. Finally, in October 2023, the court chose a map drawn by a court-appointed expert, which included a second black district. Black Alabamian Shamari Figures, son of civil rights activists, won the second congressional district 55% to 45%. The Milligan decision was long-awaited justice for black Alabamians, but a Supreme Court decision in a South Carolina gerrymandering case may narrow already weakened Voting Rights Act protections. We have more on the Milligan decision and its consequences at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time. Civic Media's own Luke Mathers will be in with a Tuesday Tangent with Lukester and your calls. Join us.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Matinee on Air.
A little lake effect activity, and in fact, there was some snow. I'm seeing that it added up at Racine and Kenosha, an inch or two in many of those areas, and there was just a little lake effect snow right on the direct shoreline of Lake Michigan. But even further inland, all the way here to Fond du Lac area and up along Lake Winnebago, we had a little ice build in the morning, made things very slick. Just a quick little freezing of ice as the mild lake effect air came in around the top of that low pressure system down in Kentucky and Tennessee, pulled some of that mild, moist air off Lake Michigan and dropped it over the land and made for a slick start yesterday morning. That shouldn't happen this morning. Although this morning, there may be a little lake effect snow flurry activity way up in far northwest Wisconsin. That should be about the extent. There's a big, strong, high-pressure system trying to build in. There's some snow in eastern South Dakota out in the west-central part of the state as well, but that's not a sign of things to come. Although I do expect a little cloudiness may be kind of rough to shake today, it is going to be fairly mild with temperatures just a little bit cooler than normal, but not the worst for this time of the season. It does get colder into the day Wednesday, and by that time we'll be watching another storm way in the south sliding east through Texas. That one may push a little moist air north, and with a kicker behind it as we wrap up Thursday or head toward Friday, a very small chance of some light snow could pop into Wisconsin. I don't expect it to be much. It's not a snowstorm by any means for us, but a little light snow possibility just to wrap up the work week into the day Friday. But those temperatures will moderate a bit ahead of that system. And in fact, by Friday and the weekend, I expect we all get back to normal, maybe a little bit above, cooling once we get on toward early next week. But not much for precipitation chances around lake effect snows in the north today, maybe lingering into tomorrow, and a small snow chance Friday. Quite possibly a little bit of light snow may be seen towards Sunday. That's not going to amount to much either, but at least a couple of chances are there. Temperatures at their coldest as we look at tomorrow, and then moderating for later in the week on toward the weekend, making it just a bit easier to get things done outdoors without having to bundle up in all the clothes because of that cold air. I'll have forecast details right after this.
As a dairy farmer, you depend on your milk receiver pump. McFinn Technologies of Kenosha introduces the impressive Bopeller pump. It's quieter, there's lower maintenance, as the seals last much longer than your old milk receiver pump. It offers a more powerful cleaning cycle with higher velocities, and it doesn't degrade the quality of your milk. Ask your dealer for the Bopeller milk receiver pump. Patented by McFinn Technologies, an American company committed to providing a better product for the dairy industry.
Did you know soybean diseases like white mold and sudden death syndrome can survive in your soil even after rotating crops? Prevention of these diseases is a constant battle, and yield loss from an infection can be devastating. The right management plan makes all the difference. Keep your beans safe this spring with Heads Up Seed Treatment. Heads Up guards your seed from both white mold and SDS. Stay protected and profitable by asking your seed dealer for Heads Up. Learn more at headsupst.com.
Welcome back, everyone. Well, you know, Stu, I mean, the snow might not be piling up, but the amount of people getting sick is. Are you seeing that up by you?
Oh, yeah. My wife's in healthcare. I hear all about the things going around, and hopefully it's staying out of my house. But you know how that is. Everybody, good luck. Take good care. Forecast today does call for some clouds, although there may be breaks in those clouds a bit later on as well. So we're not going to say an overall cloudy day, and not too bad. Upper teens, very upper teens in far northern Wisconsin, heading toward the mid-20s in the south. The northwest winds about 5 to 10. Partly cloudy overnight. Single digits, maybe just below zero up north, with that northwest wind about 5 to 10. A colder day Wednesday, partly sunny, mostly just teens in the state. Upper teens in the south, low teens north. Northwest winds will be around 5. And then Thursday, how about that? A sunny day, brightening up quite nicely when we push up into the low and even then upper 20s in the south with the south winds at 5 to 10. But, Ben, that late Thursday night, Friday, just a small chance of light snow. Those temps, though, staying in the upper 20s in the south, more like normal for this time of the season. So be ready to enjoy.
It looks like Thursday might be the day to get out if people want to get out then.
Oh, yeah. Saturday will be good, too, so make more plans.
All right. Well, thank you, Stu. That was your weather update with Ag meteorologist Stu Muck. Make sure you stick around, though, because we got a lot of action-packed show coming at you with new research in the dairy industry, as well as John Heinberg joining the show later from Total Farm Marketing. Stick around.
This is the Midwest Farm Report.
This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our one-year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh. Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. He's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health, but you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. That winter storm that stretched across much of the lower half of the country blamed for 9 deaths now. Conditions worsened overnight as temperatures plummeted. Powerful Santa Ana winds hitting the West Coast today, raising the risk of wildfires. Red flag warnings up in Ventura County. A deadly earthquake in Tibet near Mount Everest. Here's ABC's Britt Clement.
The powerful earthquake killing dozens of people after it hit a remote area of Tibet on Tuesday morning. Tremors felt in Nepal as well as parts of India. Chinese authorities registered it as a 6.8 magnitude quake, which struck Dingra County in Tibet just after 9 a.m. with a depth of 6.2 miles below ground. The U.S. Geological Survey registered the earthquake with a magnitude of 7.1.
Following time spent at the Carter Center in Atlanta, the body of former President Jimmy Carter will be flown to Washington, D.C. today. He will lie in repose at the Capitol Rotunda ahead of a state funeral on Thursday. This is ABC News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabe. Actor Craig T. Nelson belted out the national anthem before the Bears-Packers game on Sunday. The actor stars in Green and Gold, a film about a farmer who bets on the Green Bay Packers to save his Wisconsin farm, part of which was shot in Door County. The 80-year-old actor complimented the Packer fan base and called the opportunity of standing near the Packers logo at Lambeau Field an absolute thrill. Green and Gold hits theaters January 31st. Frontmen don't do humble, but today, I was. Those are the words of U2 lead singer Bono, who received the Presidential Medal of Honor from President Joe Biden last weekend. Other recipients of the award went to Hillary Clinton, Irvin Magic Johnson, Bill Nye the Science Guy, Michael J. Fox, and conservationist Jane Goodall. Bono was the winner of 22 Grammy Awards in his career. The White House said he was selected for the Medal of Freedom due to his tireless work against HIV and poverty. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabe, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
The Packers lose Christian Watson. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. Packers head coach Matt LaFleur confirmed that wide receiver Christian Watson could be out a year after suffering a torn ACL and other damage to his right knee during Sunday's game against the Bears. Up next, the Packers face the Eagles next Sunday in the wild card playoffs. Running back Josh Jacobs.
Everything is on the line. You know, it's no real do-overs. It's no flush last week. It's no none of that. It's, you know, execute when the times that they got to make a play or whatever. That's what we're going to look forward to try to do. You know, this whole week.
Men's college basketball, the Badgers with another nice Big Ten conference win, 75-63 at Rutgers. In the NBA, after losing four of their last five, the Bucks beat the Raptors in Toronto, 128-104. Bobby Portis with 20 points. Damian Lillard led with 25.
Being physical, making them work offensively, the communication, helping each other, gang rebounding. Those are all things we can control.
That's the Bucks. Damian Lillard with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, a discussion on how progressives shouldn't just focus on a better election year message. They need a better year-round media structure.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6. Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds will thicken up in the overnight. Our winds will remain light, and our temperatures dropping to the upper single digits. Morning clouds on Tuesday expected to give way to mostly sunny skies. Highs in the upper teens to around 20 degrees. Right now, it's 4.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him. And I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Matt Nair on air. This shouldn't be a thing.
Hot Dr. Pepper is the hottest holiday drink, but is it any good?
Jane, I'd like to answer that question.
Yes.
No. Have you ever had a hot soda in your life?
Yes, they're terrible. You can also do apparently 80% eggnog and 20% Dr. Pepper.
Get out of my country.
Matt Nair on air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts. You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources, just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Up North News Radio with Pat Kreitlow. Wisconsin's home for daily conversations about the state's latest headlines and stories. Weekday mornings from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK. Amory's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Takes us one or two on a given play for things to go dramatically wrong. And it's
welcome back, everybody. I'm Ben Jarve with the Midwest Farm Report, joining you this Tuesday morning. And it's looking like we're going to be in for the cold weather probably for a few more months now that we've reached down below the 30s, and it's holding there pretty consistently. But we still haven't seen it drop to those negatives yet, which I will call a win. And on tap for the rest of the show, we have John Heinberg joining us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. And we also get to hear about some new technology in tracking cattle and embryos. Charity Seebecker will have that story in just a little bit. But first, let's take a look at what's happened on this day in country music history. Way back in 1930, Jack Green, also known as the Jolly Green Giant, was born. And in 1959, David Lee Murphy, most known for his number one hit, Dust on the Bottle, from 1995, was born. Alan Jackson released I'd Love You All Over Again in 1991 on this day. And in 2020, on this day, Rascal Flatts announced that they would be disbanding. Sad day in country music that was, but they will be rejoining now again for 2025, celebrating their 25 years of being a band. Well, that's a look at your country music history. Now let's check over with Charity to see about this new technology tracking embryos.
Dairy farmers are always looking for ways to improve their herds and make smarter breeding decisions. I'm Charity Seebecker for the Midwest Farm Report, and Melissa Freitas, West and Northeast FPC team leader from VAS, shares how a new tool is helping farms of all sizes track genetic data more effectively, saving time and boosting results. It's called the Embryo Inventory Module.
So on the dairy farms, we are utilizing embryos out in the field to increase our genetic value, our genetic interval gain, and we're trying to make our reproduction programs meet our needs. We're trying to push our farms even further with our genetics than what we ever have. There needs to be somewhere to record these embryos correctly that not only is on the piece of paper that's coming from the company of wherever you are with doing your embryos, but also all your dairy management tools. So this is where the embryo module itself was built and born. This brings all of this information together. It not only keeps the whole inventory, just like you would of anything, your feed, your medicine, it keeps that inventory together in one spot, but also allows you to record the day-to-day data of when was this transfer done and what was the result of that individual transfer. And let's carry these data points of this embryo through with the donor, the recipient, and the calf when it hits the ground. So it brings it all together in one spot.
And was there a data gap? Tell me a little bit about that and how this is helping to bridge that gap.
There is an extreme data gap. There is so many embryos being implanted. There's a certain percentage. However, 0.5 of that percent of those embryos is actually being reported back on the data dairy management side. So we see, yes, there is a big data gap on that of being able to bring that information back and analyze it later. So we bring it all together. You can enter all of this in cow side, and this putting that putting that device in their hand and making it easy for them to input it is going to help bridge that data gap, because it's one stop. It's right then and there. You don't have to worry about writing it down and then inputting it in again later. We don't want to do triple data entry and having to write stuff down five times. So one stop, let's get it done so we can use it later.
So take us through kind of a little bit more of that tracking of the data. You mentioned, you know, it's going from the whole steps all the way to that cap it's going to have in the long run. But why is this so important to farmers? Why should they care? What is this really the hit home for them? You know, and how easy is it for them to enter maybe the current data that they have?
The big thing here is, like I referenced, we have our genetic gain that we are trying to achieve on the farm. We want to decrease that generational gap, that generational interval of these calves and what we have hitting the ground. And that is where genomics came into play, of being able to test these calves at a younger age. We're being able to tell what these traits are right away, who is the top of the top, who is actually the animal that I need on my farm to fit my needs. So that is their whole genetic plan. Each farm has their own individual plan stated with their group of consultants of what they want to try to achieve and get done. So once this has been decided, taking this information and being able to record it is the next step. So putting that into the phone of, here is my inventory itself, where it used to just be on a piece of paper. Well, you have your company that is doing your embryos for you, or it could be in-house. I know some farmers that do that. But however, you have this information. You get that information from this company. Let's import this inventory into our module right away from a CSV file, so that then you can record when the transfers happen, or once again, import in the file that says the transfers happen. Because sometimes the company that's doing your embryos is also the ones doing the implants. So they're already recording it. Let's bring that stuff in easy back into the program. All bringing this, bringing all of it back together, the key thing is that we need to be able to tell later how good that donor was. Is this a donor I want to keep using? Did she give me the results that I need? Are her calves and daughters doing what I need? And then it comes down to your bulls as well, you know, the information that comes along with them for the traits and everything. So getting there faster, but having it recorded so you know which donors to keep using.
And you mentioned it really integrates with the current programs that you are using already. You can bring that data over. It's not sitting there painstakingly entering it one by one, right?
Correct, correct. So there is the way to do that. You can enter it in by hand. However, if you are doing big batches of this, nobody wants to sit there for an hour at the end of the day in front of a computer entering in data. They want to go home. They fed the cows. We're done. We got to go shut our head down real quick. So you can do it either way.
And what types of farm will benefit most from this? Is it all sizes? Do you see it being more of like a show herd versus not, or commercial? Kind of give us a rough estimate of what that looks like.
It is everybody. It does, when it comes down to genetics, it doesn't matter if you are a 10 cow herd or if you are a 10,000 cow herd. Everybody has a genetic plan that they need to achieve in order to stay in business, because we've got to make milk. We've got to milk at our mark on whatever market that farm is going for. We have to hit those traits that's going to give us that production that we need. So it doesn't matter the size of the farm. It's needed. Genetics are needed on every single farm, which that's the beauty, like I was just stating. Embryo module, it doesn't matter how big you are. It's used. You're on Dairy Comp. You want to be using all the data you can get out of that program. Always more data is more analytical parts, points of it that you can sit there and analyze later and actually hit the different areas that you're struggling in, or just see your KPIs. So all of it. It could be your showstring, it can be commercial, it could be your pet cow in the back. You're going to want to know this data on this animal.
That's Melissa Freitas, West and Northeast FPC team leader from VAS, along with us. With this new tool, farmers can now take control of their genetic programs like never before, driving smarter, more efficient decisions for every farm. For the Midwest Farm Report, I'm Charity Seebecker.
Thank you, Charity. John Deere announced yesterday that they will be releasing a new line of autonomous machines and technology in 2025 to help farmers combat the labor shortage. I had the opportunity to talk with Brian Luck about autonomy. He's a biological machinery specialist with Extension, and he was able to explain what we are seeing in this autonomy space in agriculture.
It's kind of a new budding space for equipment companies. There's a lot of companies out there, as far as I can tell, that are sort of startups that are taking existing machines and converting them to autonomous platforms. There's a lot of safety considerations that have to be considered in that realm as well. And it is headed this way. We're not quite there yet. We're not ready to go fully autonomous in the ag production, at least field crops sort of space. But I'd say within the next year or two, it's a real reality.
Luck says that with the expected full autonomy coming soon, that there are still a lot of questions and concerns about having these machines running on their own, whether it be for regulations or just safety. And the easy way that he could explain why people should not be worried is that these machines have 1.5 million sensors to make sure that they keep on going in the safest way possible. Now, before we take a look at what John Heinberg has to say about the markets and reasonings for why markets are moving the way they are, let's take a look at how they're doing this morning. The markets appear to be a bit more grim than they were yesterday, as cash crop corn is down 3.75 at 454, and new crop is down 2 at 443.5. Cash soybeans are down 10 at 982.5, and new crop is down 8.75 at 1004.25. Cash wheat is down 3.5 at 537, and new crop is down 3.25 at 557.75. Class 3 milk contracts for January are down 4 cents at 2060 a hundredweight, and February is down 5 cents at 2107 a hundredweight. Don't go anywhere, because coming up next, we'll have John Heinberg from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend here to tell us what all this means and what else he is seeing that could contribute to the future markets. Stick around.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
Lake Air, 1260 AM WLAK. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
I drew my brother's name one year, and we went to the mall, and I said, hey, while you're in there, grab me a Christmas card. We're doing the gift exchange later. So he walks upstairs, gets the card, hands it to me. I sign it, Merry Christmas. Love, Pete. And that was my gift to him that I made him pick out, pay for, and retrieve. He's like, you are the laziest, cheapest. It was absolutely beautiful.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to Lake Air WLAK, Amory's home for Matt Nair on air.
Dom Selvia.
Next time, we go overtime with Maggie Dawn, America's mayor held in contempt of court. Former AG Brad Schimmel thinks Dems are guilty of lawfare. And will Wisconsin ever have binding referendums? Tune in.
The Dom Selvia Show, weekdays 4 till 6. This is Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK.
Or at 1-800-334-9779.
John, it's looking like the USDA stocks and grain stocks are coming out at the end of the week. Could you give us a better look at that?
Yeah, big report coming here on Friday, kind of the goalpost setter for basically the next quarter of the year. And with the USDA WASDE report, a supply-demand report, and then the grain stocks report also kind of interweaving with woven with that. So first off, you know, haven't seen a lot of the expectations yet, but at least the market talk is, you know, corn side is going to be one number that we're really going to be watching. What happens with the demand? The USDA made a major cut back in December to get this carry out down to this low 1.7 window. Does that continue to be an impact point, even though we've kind of started to see maybe the demand side kind of slow down a little bit here, at least on the export front, because of the, you know, the higher price value, strong U.S. dollar? And then the other side too, what's going to happen with the yield? Do we see some yield cut again? That's kind of the thought process of the market, and just talking to industry professionals too, they just think that could be another small adjustment there on the corn yield. So we'll have to see how that sets this market up. Now, a lot of it may be priced in here. We'll have to see. I think the market will stay choppy to negative going into that report. So we'll have to see how things play out the rest of this week going into those numbers on Friday. On the soybean side, again, we're really going to be watching maybe what's happening in terms of South American side of things. If do they make any changes on the crop there? On the U.S. side, do we see a further yield reduction? But regardless of what they do, we're still going to have a lot of beans here in the United States. You know, if we take 40, 50 million bushels off the pile for demand moves or something, or yield cut, that still keeps us well up over 400 million bushels of carryover, plus that big South American supply that's coming at us. So that'll be the numbers that we're kind of watching for. Grain stocks for corn could be a bit of a sleeper. That might be the more important number, as how much is actually still in stockpiles. What was the usage in the fourth quarter of the year? You know, we look at the feed demand side of things. We're feeding some heavy carcasses right now on the beef side. You know, what's that going to look at in terms of the usage? So sometimes in these reports, everybody's so focused on the production side and what's happening there that that grain stockpile number might be the sleeper that could really move the market one way or another, if the numbers are above or below expectations.
And in there, you were mentioning South America. What are we seeing as far as their weather and how it's looking there?
Yeah, that continues to be the biggest focus probably of the markets in general right now, besides the continuing demand pace, is what's going on in South America at this time frame. We saw this nice rally in the soybean market led by the meal markets here just recently, kind of peaked out a little bit here and you know, obviously fell apart a little on Friday. So we'll have to see how that continues out. Biggest thing we're watching, northern Argentina, southern Brazil is in the middle of a bit of a dry pattern right at this time frame. Temperatures are on the rise. It's getting to the stage it could be starting to see some damage possibly happening and some yield losses in that area. Now, the biggest focus of the market is going to be around the 15th of January and watching those long range forecasts. Right now, those forecasts are bringing moisture back into that region. If that occurs, then basically this dry spell will be gone. And given the overall supply down there, will put pressure back on the marketplace. Now, if that area stays dry, maybe we get a little bit more weather premium in here. But unfortunately, given the size of that Brazil crop overall, there's still going to be plenty of soybeans coming out of that region of the world that will still keep rallies limited. But there's at least a chance we can put some weather premium in, maybe get this bean market moving up a little bit higher here for producers, especially if those rains do not materialize here at the end of the month. But currently, they're kind of on the forecast, so we'll have to watch those long-range models.
Yeah, we've been hoping for a rally, and yesterday it climbed a little bit, but then this morning, take a look, and they're going back down again. Is that what you've been seeing?
You know, we had a pretty, really tough day on the markets on Friday. So, and then we come back and we're fairly strong yesterday during the day. Soybean market did fade a little bit. You know, sometimes we talk about head fakes and what the market wants to do. Right now, we're just trying to figure out which one was a head fake. Was Friday's sellout the head fake, or was yesterday's strength the head fake in terms of which way the market wants to really go? Feels like, at least the way the overnight session's going, that the move on Friday is the direction that this market wants to be at this time frame. Watching where the managed money is. They got some length in this market. They paired up a short position on the bean side that they could move some money flow back in and sell this market down in here, especially if the demand were to start slowing down because of the price values that we're at.
Yeah, and you know, last minute and a half here, would you want to explain a bit about what we're seeing in the cattle markets?
Yeah, let's touch base on that market here as well. I mean, obviously, we've seen just really good strength in the live cattle market, maybe a little bit counter-seasonal here. Again, look, really good value out there for producers, and make sure you're protecting some margins in the longer term. We've just seen a strong, strong cash market here going into the end of the year and even the first set of trade fear for last week, and that just keeps this market elevated. You got talk of 200-plus cattle in terms of cash prices out there, and that continues to keep this market very well supported, just given the tight supplies. And at the same time, the demand side is still holding together. The consumer still likes U.S. beef. Maybe we made a shift to a more popular plate with U.S. beef on it. And that's just something that's just keeping this market supported here. So, but like some of the other markets, a little concerned, a lot of length from the managed money in the marketplace. They could just roll this thing over on a technical side. So that has me very cautious here as we're putting, can continue to hold these lofty levels.
Thank you for joining us this morning, John. That was John Heinberg, a market advisor with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend. And if you do want to get a hold of him, you can get a hold of him at totalfarmmarketing.com or at 1-800-334-9779. Thank you, everyone, for joining along with me this morning on the Midwest Farm Report. I hope you stay warm and have a fun day out there, and try not to get sick, even though there's a lot of that going around. Thank you again. Bye.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to Lake Air, WLAK, Amory's home for Up North News Radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family, because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app.
Some ag-related takeaways from the UN Climate Conference today on Farm to Fork.
Hey there, it's Mike Rowe, and if you're out there getting dirty, do me a favor and remember to call or click 811 before you dig. And when I say dig, I refer to any activity requiring boring, tilling, drilling, probing, reaming, plowing, drudging, or even scoping. Anything that causes you to roll up your sleeves a little and dig in requires you to first connect with 811 so that you can avoid all those buried pipes, wires, and cables underground. To sum up, call or click 811 before you dig and visit safeexcavator.com for more information.
A farm can be a wonderful place to grow up, but it can also be a dangerous place. Statistically, a child dies on a farm every 3 days somewhere in America. That needs to be fixed. Do whatever you can to make sure your kids keep safety top of mind, working or playing. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork, through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. The recent United Nations Climate Conference included a focus on the role agriculture has in climate. The group U.S. Farmers and Ranchers in Action plays up that role, as the industry is seen as a potential mitigator of greenhouse gas emissions. CEO Kevin Burkham.
Our share of voice, frankly, pales in comparison to some other sectors. It's important for us to continue to go there, to be present, to be visible, to be loud with our voices, to share science and evidence that supports our point of view.
Pennsylvania farmer Marilyn Hershey is a USFRA board member.
We have a positive story to tell, but I think it's very important that we make sure that the messages that are out there are factual and not based on theory or based on an assumption.
And another USFRA board member, South Dakota farmer Michael Crinian, reflects on the landmark study I recently told you about concerning the potential for agriculture to address climate change.
So far, there's been a lot of very positive reviews. I'm hoping it'll continue that, and hopefully maybe it'll continue other things where agriculture can be even more greenhouse gas negative.
More tomorrow. That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, I'll break down all of the hidden symbols and why Beyoncé Bowl on Christmas was so important in this political moment. Next.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. On my YouTube channel, I recently talked to Amanda Klayman, a financial therapist and an all-around excellent person. We talked about how to reduce money anxiety, and her advice was really helpful. She said, unless we have a time to do money, we don't have a time to not do money. Meaning, if we set aside some time to think about and manage our money, it lets our brain stop worrying about money all the time. For example, I have a monthly money meeting with myself, which lowers my money anxiety and helps keep me on top of my finances. If you don't already, set and keep that money meeting with yourself. It'll help your wallet and your peace of mind. Remember what Amanda said, unless you have a time to do money, you don't have a time to not do money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
You're listening to Lake Air 1260 AM WLAK Amory and 107.5 FM W298DK Amory, and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. This just in, two people have been found dead in the landing gear compartment of a JetBlue flight that landed in Fort Lauderdale, Florida. They were found in a post-flight inspection of the plane. There's no word on who they are or why they were there. That big winter storm that stretched across several states has left hundreds of thousands of people without power and has claimed at least nine lives. ABC's Victor Okendo with more from Ohio.
More than 10 inches of snow by mid-afternoon in Cincinnati. Trucks backed up on Interstate 471 for miles. The storm's effects stretching some 1,500 miles from the Midwest to the Mid-Atlantic. The massive system hitting major airports and scrapping flights. A sea of red on departure and arrival boards.
Gusts that could hit 100 miles an hour in Southern California today as Santa Ana winds pick up, raising the risk of wildfires. Today marks 10 years since the deadly Charlie Hebdo newspaper attacks in Paris that left 12 people dead. This is ABC News. McDonald's